Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Peter Mac Show. Thanks for tuning in to this edition. Today is August 12th, 2007. My special guest is Eustace Mullins. We're still trying to reach him on the phone. He's the author of a book called Secrets of the Federal Reserve, written way back in 1952, long before much of the other publications came out, obviously, about the Federal Reserve banking system, and hope to reach him shortly here. I think I'll just go over a couple of news items while we're trying to get him on the phone here. One is that, as you may know, Ron Paul finished, fifth in the Iowa straw poll yesterday. Mitt Romney was first with 31.5%, Mike Huckabee second with 18.1%, Sam Brownback, Senator from Kansas here, was third with 15.3%, Tom Tancredo with 13.7% was fourth, and Ron Paul finished fifth with 9.1%. So obviously those of us that support him would like to, for him to have performed better, but I think, as I understand it, he's still in the running, and I hope you will look at his videos on YouTube and elsewhere, read his message, and support Ron Paul in his bid for the Republican nomination for the presidency of the United States, and then, of course, vote for him if he makes that or if he chooses to run as an independent in November of 2008. I think he's one of our last best chances to turn this country around with all that's going on, all the violations of the Constitution that are just almost too numerous to talk about on this show and other shows by the current administration and previous administrations. But I think the current administration takes the cake in terms of violations of the Constitution. One of those has to do with the spy program that was revealed to us, I think, over a year ago now. Here's an article from the Dallas Morning News. Date is Tuesday, July 31st, 2007. It's a short article. I'll just read a bit of it to you. It says, the Director of National Intelligence said Tuesday that President Bush authorized a series of secret intelligence activities under an executive order in late 2001, making clear that a national security agency surveillance effort was part of a much broader operation than the president previously described. The disclosure by Mike McConnell appears to be the first time that the administration has publicly acknowledged that Mr. Bush's order included undisclosed activities that go beyond the warrantless surveillance of emails and phone calls that Mr. Bush confirmed in December 2005. In a letter to Senator Arlen Specter, Mr. McConnell wrote that the executive order after the September 11, 2001 attacks included, quote, a number of intelligence activities. He also said that the phrase routinely used by the administration, the terrorist surveillance program applied only to one particular aspect of these activities and nothing more. In other words, folks, I think it's just more evidence that we can't trust the federal government. They come out and they say they're doing warrantless searches, and then we hear that there's even more going on. So, well, we do have Mr. Mullins on the line now. So, Mr. Mullins, thank you very much for taking time out of your Sunday afternoon to come on the Peter Mac Show and discuss your book, The Secrets of the Federal Reserve, which you wrote way back in 1952. Is that correct?
Yes. I was commissioned to write the book in 1948 and was finally published in 1953.
Okay, great. Well, just tell us how you decided to write the book, how you came across this information about the Federal Reserve banking system and where you gathered your information, if you would.
Well, all the information came from official government documents at the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. For that reason, no one has ever challenged anything since the book appeared in 1953.
Okay, great. Well, just talk about the general thesis. I know I've discussed the Federal Reserve banking system before on this program. I've discussed G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, but I've never completely read yours, although I have it here in front of me. Maybe you could just go through and tell us what the origin of the Federal Reserve banking system is.
Well, the Federal Reserve Bank...
I hate to cut you. We're due for a break here, so hold that thought, if you would, Mr. Mullins.
All right.
We have a commercial break, and we'll get back to it right after that. Stay with us, folks. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered them, You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Okay, we're back here, folks. Thanks for tuning in to the Peter Mac Show. My special guest with me is Mr. Eustace Mullins. He's the author of a book called The Secrets of the Federal Reserve, and just asking before the break how he got started writing this book, and maybe you could just begin then, Mr. Mullins, with the folks that went to Jekyll Island back in, what was it, about 1910, right?
Well, actually, I was more or less commissioned to write the book by the late President Franklin D. Roosevelt and his KGB assistant, Alger Hiss.
Wow.
And the reason this is, the reason all this happened was that before World War One, Ezra Pound was campaigning against the United States entering World War Two as a sucker, as it was lured into World War One, and he did this as a patriotic duty. He wasn't asked by anyone to do it, and he wasn't paid by anyone to do it. So Alger Hiss then asked the Department of Justice to indict Ezra Pound for high treason, giving aid and comfort to the enemy during wartime. Ezra Pound was in Italy at the time where he lived as an expatriate American. And so, of course, Alger Hiss had his way, and the Department of Justice issued the indictment, and he was arrested in 1943 in Italy by the U.S. forces and flown back to Washington, where he expected to be hung because the treason in wartime is a capital offense.
Right.
But the government elected not to try him right away. They got three government psychiatrists to examine him, and he said that he would stand by everything that broadcast about getting into the war. In other words, he was doing the same thing in Italy, which Charles Lindbergh, was, as the head of America First Movement, was doing in the United States, of a campaign against us being lured into another devastating world war.
Okay.
So, and this against Germany, too, which, by the way, the United States was 62% of German ethnic origin at the time of World War One and World War Two.
Wow.
So it was more like a civil war against the German people because we were revolting against our own heritage. And the reason for this was that the English and French settlers found the North American continent very hostile and the weather was bad, and they didn't come over here in great numbers to settle. And our first big settlement came in the Revolutionary War when the Rothschilds hired the Elector of Hesse to send his mercenary troops to fight King George's subjects in the American colonies because they, being Englishmen, weren't too anxious to fight their own compatriots on this side of the ocean.
Right.
So therefore we were invaded by German mercenary soldiers for the sum of $5 million, and that was the basis of the Rothschild fortune, which I'll go to at greater length a little later on.
Okay.
So these German settlers, I mean the German mercenaries, after the Revolutionary War was concluded, they didn't want to go back to Germany because they had no land there, and they just decided to settle here in the United States. And they settled all up and down the East Coast, Pennsylvania and Delaware and Virginia. And so they became good farmers and very good citizens. And the result was that the racial component of the United States in its early years and to the present time has been 62% German ethnic origin. So our declaring war on Germany in 1917 and 1939 was really a mix-up because we didn't understand who we are, where we were going. But that has settled down now. The Germans have proved to be very good American citizens. So because of these treason charges against Ezra Pound, the government psychiatrist asked him how he'd defend himself against the charges. And he replied, "I will defend myself by standing by everything I've ever said." Well, they obviously didn't want a trial like that. Mm-hmm. So they had the government psychiatrist examine him, and they declared he was incompetent to participate in his own defense because he said he would stand by everything he had ever said, which you would think would be a mark of character in anybody.
Right.
But they were dismayed at this defense, a proposed defense. So the government psychiatrist, Ezra had no psychiatrist of his own, but the government psychiatrist declared him mentally incompetent. And he was remanded to St. Elizabeth's Hospital for the Insane, a federal prison in Washington, D.C., for insane people. And he remained there 15 years without trial. And as a prisoner in the insane asylum, of course, no one was taking him seriously because obviously people who are in the insane asylum must be insane.
Right.
So I was asked to visit him. I was going to an art school in Washington, D.C., and one of my professors was visiting Ezra Pound and writing some French translations of French poetry with him. And he asked me to go with him to visit Pound. And I demurred at first because I said, "What would Ezra Pound want to talk to me for?"
Uh-huh.
And I didn't realize that his position was very dire at the time. He had very few visitors, and he was, after all, incarcerated night and day in an insane asylum, which is not recommended position for anyone to be in.
Right. What year was this that you went to visit him?
1948.
Okay.
And he had already been there 5 years. So I went with this professor to visit them. I was very impressed by him. Of course, he showed no signs of any mental problems whatsoever. In fact, the government had never claimed that he had any. They simply said that he was going to stand by it, everything he'd ever said. And to them, that was sheer insanity.
Right.
So a man of his word, I absolutely panicked everybody in Washington. So he never was tried. And finally, in 1958, 10 years later, I interested a congressman in his plight. And the congressman went on the floor of Congress and asked, why is the government holding this man? Because despite all the investigations, they never discovered any evidence about the charge of treason, or they'd ever committed treason. Mm-hmm. So this congressman went on the floor of Congress and asked the question, why is the government holding this man? Well, it was kind of the attention that they're holding the people in Guantanamo Bay for the last 6 years. They suspect that in the future, at some point, they might do something which would harm the United States.
Right.
And, of course, that suspicion is all they have to go on. They have no evidence. But they hold them anyway, and the poor guys have been there all these years and staring through the prison walls. But because this congressman asked the question, why is the government holding this man, and the government had no answer because they had absolutely no reason for holding him.
Who was the congressman? Do you remember?
He was a congressman from North Dakota, from Fargo, North Dakota, and Rex's father had been the editor of the Fargo, North Dakota paper, and he backed this congressman. I think his name is Aldrich, and that's in my book, which I haven't yet looked up for this broadcast. But
okay.
The congressman spoke up for Pound, and was my answer. And so the government then held an 8-minute hearing, and after imprisoning Pound for 15 years in the same asylum, they dropped all charges, and he was immediately released.
After an 8-minute hearing?
Yes.
Wow.
With no apology. And in fact, I have now requested, I have a lawsuit going on in San Francisco about this very subject, about the Federal Reserve. And so I have notified the Department of Justice that he left several children and grandchildren. And so I've suggested that the government pay a $10 million reparation to the Pound family. Ezra Pound and his wife, Dorothy Shakespeare Pound, a descendant of the poet William Shakespeare, died years ago. But I think the family should receive something for the Ezra Pound's sufferings all those years.
Yeah. Was that 1958 then that he was released?
Pardon?
Was it in 1958 that the government decided to release?
He was arrested in Italy in 1943.
Right, but I mean, you said it was 10 years later that this congressman asked on the floor of the House why he was being held, and the government had an 8-minute hearing and then
released
him.
Oh, that was in 1958.
Okay, right.
And
I just want to
when
get the
he made that charge, he asked that question, and they got Department of Justice immediately realized the jig was up, and they held an 8-minute hearing and dismissed all charges against him.
Wow.
Now, when I first met Ezra Pound in 1948, he told me that eventually the government would have to drop all charges against him, and they would be dismissed. And so I thought that was pure optimism on his part, and a number of people in Washington told me that the politicians in Washington had boasted that Ezra Pound would never leave San Luis Hospital alive.
Okay, hold on, Mr. Mullins. We're due for another break, and I want to make sure people can hear what you're talking about. Okay, folks, we'll be back here in just a couple minutes with Mr. Mullins, and hang with us.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Okay, welcome back to the Peter Mac Show. Thanks for tuning in here to the RBN Network. Today is Sunday, August 12th, and my guest is Eustace Mullins, the author of the book, The Secrets of the Federal Reserve. And so, Mr. Mullins, sorry to cut you off at that break, but you were just, prior to that, you tell us that Ezra Pound was released in 1958 after this eight-minute hearing by the government. And then begin from there, if you would, again.
Yes, the media has always referred to Ezra Pound as the crazy traitor. And in fact, he was never diagnosed as being insane, and he never was convicted of treason.
Right.
So the media has a great deal of freedom in this country. It's called freedom of speech, which means right. They have the freedom to lie about anybody with no chance of correcting that.
Right.
And that's one thing about talk radio. It's a free medium where people can voice legitimate concerns about the country. And, in fact, President Bush the First went on the radio and complained about talk shows. He thought it was a terrible thing.
I think Clinton complained about them, too, after the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, Ezra Pound was released and so on, and so what was his fate after that? What happened to him?
Yeah, he returned to Italy, and the government never offered any compensation for the years he had suffered. Because, believe me, one, as another inmate told me, if you're not crazy, when they bring you in, you will be after one night.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And I went there every day for 3 years and sat at the feet of Ezra Pound, and he told me the history of the world. And so in my lectures all over the world, I always warned my audiences that I got my education in the insane asylum, which is quite true. I attended eight of the best universities in the United States, and I learned absolutely nothing. And I heard more from Ezra Pound in one afternoon in a three-hour session than I did in my attendance at those eight great universities.
Wow. Did you graduate from any of those universities? Did you graduate from any of those universities?
Yes. I got a Master of Fine Arts.
Right.
I went to Washington Lee University. And in my authorized biography of Ezra Pound, I opened it by saying the three people who were most influential in my life were all condemned to death for treason.
Wow.
They were George Washington, Robert E. Lee, and Ezra Pound.
Wow.
And it's quite an amazing coincidence, because it seems that anybody who speaks up for treason, anybody who speaks up for freedom in the United States is immediately accused of treason.
Yeah.
And that's been my own experience, too, by the way. I was fired from the Library of Congress itself in 1952, and I was only the second person to be fired in the history of the Library of Congress in Washington. And
wow.
The first one was Walt Whitman, who also was a rather free-thinking American poet. And, in fact, I say in many of my lectures that the three greatest writers of the United States history are Ezra Pound, Walt Whitman, and Mark Twain, because they're three native geniuses who have had an enormous impact on this country.
It's interesting. So did you learn your information about the Federal Reserve banking system from Ezra Pound, as well as your own research at the Library of Congress?
Oh, yes. In fact, I didn't learn anything about the Federal Reserve from Ezra Pound, because he himself was looking for information about it. And after we hit it off so well in my initial visits of to him at the insane asylum, he asked me if I could go to the Library of Congress and look up to see what I could find out about the Federal Reserve system. And at that time, I'd never heard of the Federal Reserve system.
Okay.
And I had no money of my own. But he pulled out his wallet and showed me a greenback dollar bill which said Federal Reserve on it.
Right.
And that was my introduction to the Federal Reserve system. So I've been working on it ever since 1948, and I'm still learning more every day. I've recently filed a lawsuit in San Francisco, which brings up to date my understanding of the Federal Reserve system, which is not federal, and it's the same as name is Federal Express.
Right.
And it has no reserves because it creates money out of thin air.
Right.
So you don't need any reserves for that. And it's not a system, but as I've lectured for the last 50 years, that it's not a system, it's a criminal syndicate. And I've never heard from the Federal Reserve System about that, but I've been in the building many times, and they have all of my books there, and they're little private library at the Federal Reserve headquarters.
In Washington, D.C.?
In Washington, D.C. It's on Constitution Avenue, and it is a white marble palace.
Right. I've been by it before.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
Many hours researching there, although most of my research was done at the Library of Congress.
Okay. Hold that thought, if you would, Mr. Mullins. We'll be back here in just a couple minutes. We're due for another break, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to get into how he wrote the book. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net. With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back here on the Peter Mac Show. It's just a little past the bottom of the hour, and we're discussing with my special guest, Eustace Mullins, his impetus to begin writing the book, The Secrets of the Federal Reserve. So that idea or that seed to explore what the Federal Reserve banking system actually is was planted in your mind by Ezra Pound in 1948. Is that right?
Well, he not only planted it in my mind, he actually hired me. He commissioned me to write the history of the Federal Reserve System.
Okay.
At the municipal sum of $10 a week, which was a lot of money in 1948.
Okay.
And
so
I did that, and my researches at the Library of Congress proved to be astonishing. But a gigantic worldwide conspiracy emerged at which the fact is that the bankers behind the Federal Reserve System had been working for 100 years to get the central bank established in the United States as part of their plan for world control that's going on today. And they've converted the United States, a free democracy, they've converted it into a national war party, which the President Bush addressed the graduating class of West Point in 1958. He announced that he was going to attack and invade 63 countries around the world which were harboring terrorists.
He said that
this information was never published by the United States media, but I was lecturing in Japan at that time, and I noticed that an English Japanese newspaper published in the English language, they quoted the speech that George Bush was going to attack 63 countries around the world.
And this speech was given in what year, 1968?
Oh, that was 3 years ago, 2004.
I mean, okay, I thought you said 1968, but he gave
this
speech in 2004?
And I only learned about it in Japan. And
okay,
I expected to find the full newspaper story when I returned to the United States, and I was amazed to find that the New York Times, which publishes complete texts of all presidential speeches, had never mentioned this lecture to the West Point graduating class.
Okay, again, this was what year, 2004, the current President Bush gave this speech?
2004, the graduating class of West Point, 2004.
Okay.
And that is never printed in an American newspaper.
Wow.
And,
I wonder if West...
Which is an amazing thing, because French and English newspapers did print stories about it, because it was quite alarming that the United States were going to attack 63 countries around the world, which even Adolf Hitler never threatened to do something like that. But
I wonder if West Point has a copy of that speech.
Well, they should have. It was made at West Point.
Right.
So it should be available there. But I have never been able to trace any record of it in the United States. And, of course, I didn't take a copy of the Japanese newspaper with me from the hotel I was staying at in Tokyo, because I expected it to be fully covered in the American press when I returned to this country.
Right.
And I came here to find total silence.
Right.
And to this day, it has never been mentioned.
Yeah. It's the first I've heard of it. Okay, so in 48, you went off to the Library of Congress and began doing research, and you begin to unravel this.
I took my work each day and research to the insane asylum, and Ezra Pan ran over it and organized it for me and directed my research. And with his guidance, you see, Ezra Pan himself had a number of proteges, and four of his proteges were awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature.
I read that in your book, yeah.
Yeah, T.S. Eliot and James Joyce and several others, and Ernest Hemingway.
Right.
And so they were all pupils of Ezra Pound. And so at the present time, I found myself in a strange position of being the last living protege of Ezra Pound.
Right.
Who had many distinguished proteges. But I'm carrying on his work. The Nobel Prize, by the way, because of his staunch anti-communism, had always refused to award the Nobel Prize directly to Ezra Pound, despite his stellar record in working with other American poets.
Right.
So that's just one of the many oversights which have occurred in his mysterious career.
When did he die?
Well, just one episode and many such events.
Right. When did Mr. Pound finally die?
He died in 1972 at his home in Venice, Italy. And he's buried in the cemetery in Venice.
Okay.
It was a very small funeral. There were only five people there. Because as it was well known and respected in Italy itself, and in fact, Italian intellectuals had petitioned the United States government repeatedly for his release. They said, stop sending us your gangsters and criminals, and instead send us back Ezra Pound, which they refused to do.
Right.
Because they sent Lucky Luciano and a lot of mafia chieftains back to Italy on the grounds that they should not be citizens of the United States. But Ezra Pound, they continue to keep in the insane asylum.
Right. Okay, so again, back to the beginning of your book, which was in 48. You did this research, and each day or week you would report back to Ezra Pound at the insane asylum, and he would organize the material that you were uncovering there. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
He organized and edited the material. And, of course, he was a godsend to me because this is my first book, and I was only 25 years old.
Right.
And I had written a book of poems a couple of years earlier, but that was my only writing adventure. So this is quite a task for me, but he thought nothing of it. He edited The Wasteland for T.S. Eliot, for which T.S. Eliot got the Nobel Prize, and that became the most popular poem of the 1920s. It swept the world.
Wow.
So as you began to do this research, did you find the information in the Library of Congress about these six men that went to Jekyll Island? And it was
found the complete story. In fact, I reprinted the story. The story appeared in a popular magazine of the time, 1910, in the December 1910 issue. And it told us the mysterious meeting of Jekyll Island of these leading financiers who went there as the first name club. They agreed not to use each other's last name, and they laid off all the servants at the Jekyll Island Club, which was the millionaire's club, and which was at that time represented 6% of the wealth of the entire world.
Right.
That's how important these people are.
Right. So they traveled there in 1910, and behind closed doors, they formulated the plan that would eventually become the Federal Reserve banking system in the United States.
Well, the plan was actually written by Paul Warburg. You see, the whole expedition was organized by the Rothschilds, and it was commissioned by Baron Alfred de Rothschild of London for these men to go to Jekyll Island and write a secret plan to take over the money and credit of the people of the United States.
Right.
Which occurred in 1913 with a very spirited congressional fight for several years, which was led by Charles Augustus Lindbergh Sr., a congressman from Minneapolis.
Right. The father of the famous Lindbergh, right?
He's the father of the aviator, yes. And his son became the most famous man in the world, and his son married a partner of J.P. Morgan, the daughter of a partner of a J.P. Morgan company. So he married into the opposition, really.
Oh, okay. Because Lindbergh Sr. was vehemently opposed to the Federal Reserve Banking Act, right?
Yes. His father led the opposition. The opposition was almost entirely Midwestern and Western bankers who were fighting Wall Street because it was generally conceived that the plan was backed by Wall Street interests. So the western part of the United States and the Midwestern fought it very heavily. And they were gaining ground, but Paul Warburg, who was an employee of the Bank of Rothschild, and he wrote the entire Federal Reserve Act, and he's the one who coined the name Federal Reserve System because it was to disguise the origins of the plan, which was the Rothschild plan. And I filed legal papers in San Francisco in a $500 million lawsuit. Over there, I was invited in March of this year to speak in California about the Federal Reserve System, which I do all over the world. And so a church agreed to contract with us to use the church for this lecture because they were interested in public affairs. But the night before the meeting, they canceled the meeting and returned the check. And so we filed suit against them for breach of contract and defamation of character because my partner in this venture was a very famous doctor of neurology with his offices in San Francisco. So we've had that suit going since March the 22nd of this year, and the lawyers have tried to dismiss the case repeatedly with no success.
Wow.
And we're having another hearing on it later this month. And I have to go to San Francisco to to testify that.
Okay. Well, good luck in that. Wow.
Oh, yes. Well, the case has gone down well. They expected to dismiss it immediately because we had no attorney, but I have been doing my own legal work for the last 60 years, and I have practiced in most of the courts in this country, almost every court except the U.S. Supreme Court, which I avoid because the Supreme Court is the most political of all American courts. And so when you go before the Supreme Court, it's like going before the U.S. Congress.
Right.
So you don't have much chance there of getting any recognition. And of course, I never even tried to.
Right.
But my other lawsuits have done very well. I successfully sued the Internal Revenue Service, the FBI, and the CIA. And I won all those lawsuits. And in fact, the Internal Revenue Service was harassing me daily with special delivery letters and daily telephone calls. And so I typed up one sheet of paper and took it out to the local branch of the Internal Revenue Service. And in this sheet of paper, I said that the Internal Revenue Service is a collection agency for a privately owned bank, and it's misrepresented itself by claiming to be a representative of the United States government. It's not by any means of anything like that. So I filed this paper with the Internal Revenue Service, and I got a stamped receipt, and I walked out of the office, and that was almost a year ago, and I've not heard one word of them since.
And the harassment stopped then?
Pardon?
The harassment has stopped since you walked out?
Oh, the harassment stopped. Yes, okay. I get harassed all the time because when I started exposing the Federal Reserve System, and I was so naive, I didn't realize that no one had dared to criticize the Federal Reserve System since 1913. It became the supreme power in this country with the right of issue, the right to print its own money.
Right.
See, the Federal Reserve System contracts the printing of U.S. currency with the Bureau of Printing and Engraving in Washington, which is next door to the Holocaust Museum.
That's interesting.
And so the tourists go to the Holocaust Museum, and then they go next door to the Bureau of Printing and Engraving, and they see our currency being printed, but they don't know it's being printed by the United States government on contract from the Federal Reserve System.
Uh-huh.
And they pay 2 cents a bill. If they print a $100 bill, they charge the Federal Reserve System 2 cents for it, which the Federal Reserve System then sells to the United States government at $100 face value.
Right.
The Federal Reserve System gives no discounts. If you think you're going to get a $100 bill for $99, you're mistaken. You'll never get one.
Okay. And they create this money out of nothing, right? They just print these bills and they flood our country with these, in essence, worthless pieces of paper.
Well, it's been a great disaster because, you see, the U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, provides that the government shall control the printing of currency in the United States.
Right.
And so they delegated that power to a private bank in 1913, and we had no public debt at that time. We've been going into debt ever since, and we're now the most indebted country in the world.
Right.
China has $400 trillion worth of U.S. dollars at the present time, and Japan, our former enemy, has $300 trillion.
And if those dollars start flooding back into this economy, that's going to create rampant inflation, isn't it?
Oh, yes, indeed. But you see, China and Japan cannot unload their holdings of U.S. dollars because it will cause a worldwide economic collapse. So everybody's stuck right now. And in fact, I wanted to go into the market myself last week because there was this financial crisis on Wall Street, a shortage of credit.
Right.
And with $100 million, I could have gone in and solved the whole problem by creating a major credit, and the U.S. Stock Exchange was losing 300 points a day, and I could have brought that to a halt in overnight. But of course, I can have the economic knowledge, but I don't have that entree into Wall Street, so I had to let the market keep on sliding down.
Well, aren't we eventually, Mr. Mullins, aren't we eventually doomed economically because of the system that the Federal Reserve Banking Act has imposed on us, this creation of paper dollars that are not backed by anything, that just the government continues to print?
No, this is a currency which has no value anywhere in the world. It's just printed paper.
And eventually people are going to figure that out, as they are now, right?
Well, I think people are figuring it out. It's
right.
Common knowledge. Well, my book has been circulating for 50 years, and I tell everybody there is absolutely no backing for the U.S. currency,
right.
So the world
and we're
is
due for,
around.
Sorry to interrupt, but we're due for a break, so we'll be right back, folks, in just a couple minutes with Eustace Mullins, author of The Secrets of the Federal Reserve.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Mullins, and we're discussing his book and various really adventures of his life and leading up to the writing of the book. And since then, the book is The Secrets of the Federal Reserve. And if you go to Google his name, Eustace Mullins, that's E-U-S-T-A-C-E, Mullins, M-U-L-L-I-N-S. You can find a wealth of information on there about his life and his writings and so on, and I encourage you to take a look at that. So, Mr. Mullins, we have just a few minutes left before the top of the hour, and then if you want to, we can solicit callers and see what questions people may have for you during the second hour. Do you want to do that?
Oh, yes, I'd be glad to talk to your callers because I'm always glad to share my knowledge about the Federal Reserve System, because even the Federal Reserve System acknowledges that I'm the only historian of the Federal Reserve System. And the only book that they have about the Federal Reserve System in their private library in Washington, D.C., are copies of every edition of my books.
Interesting.
And for years, I was absolutely mystified because I had a one-man publishing operation, and whenever I published a new edition of the Federal Reserve book and updating and bringing into line with new facts I had amassed, I was surprised to find a check from the Federal Reserve System in Washington, D.C., with a check for the latest copy of my book.
Really?
And when I went to their library, they had all the copies on the shelf in their little library.
Interesting. That's fantastic to know. Go ahead.
I actually talked to the leading officials of the Federal Reserve System. Joseph Cohen was the chief administrator of the Federal Reserve Board of Governors. And I called him up one day, and I parked out front, and I said, Mr. Cohen, I corresponded with you a number of times and previously, which we had. And I said, I'd like to come by and see you for a moment.
Uh-huh.
And, his secretary said at first that Mr. Cohen never sees anyone without an appointment because he's one of the most important bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. So I just said, just tell him that Eustace Mullins was here and would be glad to speak to him.
Uh-huh.
So he came right to the phone and said, well, come on up. I can only give you a few minutes because I have an important meeting coming up. I said, that's perfect. I just want to stop and say hello. I went up to his office, went up these huge marble stairs like a European palace.
Right.
And his office was at the end of the stairs. And I went in and talked to Mr. Cohen. He was very friendly. And I spent really about 2 hours with him because we had lots to talk about. He didn't mention anything about an upcoming meeting while I was there.
Uh-huh.
And finally, I figured we'd covered everything. So I excused myself and I left.
Interesting. And yet they realize that you're describing the Federal Reserve Banking System for what it is, this unconstitutional entity that creates money out of nothing, right?
But yes. It's a privately owned bank, and it's a monopoly, because in the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, it stipulates that no share of Federal Reserve stock can be bought or sold on any stock exchange in the world, which has remained true ever since 1913.
Right.
We're
due for a break here at the top of the hour, which we're at, Mr. Mullins. So when we come back, I'll give the phone number out, and we'll see if people have some questions or comments for you, okay? Stay with us, folks. We'll be back here in a couple of minutes after the break.